I was just, as we are singing songs and listening to the offertory, the message, I thought, oh, this goes right along with the message. And I know that my wife didn't plan this because she picked the songs a long time ago. But the offertory talks about His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect. Take my life and make a vessel purified. God makes no mistakes. His way is best. And that is just so applicable to what I'm going to be speaking on today. The title of the message, there's two different titles you can pick. You can pick either one you want. The first one is, I know better than the Lord. The first one is, I know better than the Lord. And the second one is, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. You have said that. If you haven't said it openly, you've lived it in your life. You've said, not so, Lord. Because anytime we break one of God's commands, we're really saying, not so, Lord. I've got this figured out, and I can do it better than you. Then the song we are singing, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. You know, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I think we would sing that. I don't think we maybe would always believe it 100% in the way we live always. So we're in Acts chapter 10 again, and I'm backing up. Some of you think, oh, just come on, get moving. Well, it's my prerogative as a pastor to back up if I want to. I was thinking through and reading through this psalm and thinking about it, and this verse just kept coming back to me today, or this last week. Verse number 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now let's just read to get into the context again, verse 9 through 16. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Father, we ask You this morning that You would help us, Father, to receive Your word with meekness. I pray, Father, that You would help us to surrender to You, Lord, in whatever area in our life that we need to surrender. Father, I pray that You would help us as Christians to want to please You, to want to have You truly lead us in our lives. Father, we would sing that song often, but I wonder how true it is in reality in our lives that we allow You to lead us. Lord, through the trials, through struggles, through just everyday life, are we really allowing You to lead us? Or are we stubbornly saying, Lord, no, we got this. I got this under control. I can handle this myself. Lord, help us, because we need Your strength and Your help every day to follow You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter's confronted with a message sent directly from the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been confronted with a message sent directly from the Lord? Have you ever been confronted with a message sent directly from the Lord? What do you have? Most of you have one of these sitting in your lap. You have all been confronted with a message sent directly from the Lord. I know we referred to this a few weeks ago, but I believe we need to cover this aspect in more detail. What we're interested in today is Peter's response to the Lord's instruction. We're not going to go back into the instruction per se, but his response. And his response to the Lord's instruction is, "Not so, Lord." The Lord tells Peter to kill and eat. What's his response? "No, not doing it." In our language now, there are probably other people have different language, but that ain't going to happen. "I'm not doing it, Lord. No way. Not going to happen." That's basically what Peter was telling the Lord. It's not going to happen. Peter tells the Son of God, no. He tells the Son of God, no. You know, just because you're an apostle doesn't make you perfect. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you can't tell the Lord no at times. Just because you're a Christian for a lot of years doesn't mean you can't tell the Lord no at times. Verse 16 says that this was done three times, and it's probable that each time, I think the idea is that Peter said three times, "No, I'm not going to do that." The number three often carries the idea of completeness along with the number seven in Scripture. Seven, a little higher level there, but there were three patriarchs. When the Lord says something three times, it means it's sure. When holy, 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 or whoa, 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 the three times is important in the Scripture. The Lord prayed how many times in the garden? Three times in the garden he went to pray. The Trinity, three in the Trinity. And that doesn't mean every time you come across three in the Bible, it's a good thing, but three is an important number, and there's many other examples. The repetition of the command three times is significant in its importance and sure nature of the message. But Peter is slow to listen. You ever been slow to listen? Peter was slow to listen here to what the Lord was saying. How many times should the Lord have to tell an apostle something before he obeys? Once. He should only have to tell the apostle something once before he obeys. The Lord repeats this three times. It's kind of like when you were a kid and mom and dad tried to teach you, "I should only have to tell you once." But the kids just keep saying, you know, and then some parents get to the one, two, three, you know. Not a good way to raise your kids, doing the number system. It's not a good way. But maybe people take it from this, you know, the Lord telling him three times. Remember when the Lord said to the disciples on the road to Emmaus after his death, burial, and resurrection, he said this about them. "Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Not only was Peter slow of heart to believe, he doubted about the Lord's command. Verse 17, "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean." So he's doubting the Lord's command. He doesn't understand it, and he's not sure what to do with it. His first mistake was telling the Lord no. His second mistake was having to be told three times. His third mistake was doubting the Lord's instructions. Doubt is a tool that Satan uses in Christians' lives. He causes them to doubt so that they become ineffective for the cause of Christ. And if he can get even one of his apostles to doubt, then he can make him ineffective for the cause of Christ. Doubt is that question mark in the way of doing, it's questioning the way that God wants you to go in life or what God has sent you to do, and you just doubt, and so you never step forward. You never really step forward to do what the Lord asks you to do because you're always doubting, does he really want me to do this? Does he really want me to go witness to that person? Whatever that might be, there are areas of doubt in Christians' lives, and they're all... Some Christians are always doubting, does God really want me to do this? And so they never step forward. So Peter, still in the battle with doubt, was directed by the Holy Spirit in verse 20. He says, "Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Now, Peter shouldn't have doubted to begin with, because it was God's command to him. But the Holy Spirit then has to tell him, go with him, and stop your doubting. Stop doubting. I have called you to do this, and so quit doubting. You know, the same thing could be said for us today. God has given us his commands, but how often do we doubt what the Lord has commanded us? How often do we just say, I'm not going to step forward, I'm not going to do that, because I doubt that I can do that. I can't talk to other people. I'm not articulate. My knees shake when I get up in front of people. How could I ever get up in front of people and talk to them? How could I ever go witness to my neighbors? I'm scared of that. Holy Spirit said, get on the move, Peter, and stop your doubting. Stop your doubting. It's not a time for telling the Lord no. It's not a time for God to have to repeat himself. It's not a time for doubt. It's one thing to say, if somebody comes up to you on the street and says, hey, I want you to go do this, and you don't agree with him, and you say no. It's another thing when the Lord tells you to do something and you don't obey. The first two words Peter speaks do not go with the third. His words are far different from the words of Samuel. Remember what Samuel said? Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. What did Paul say? Consider Saul's answer on the road to Damascus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not no. Peter's answer is not so, Lord. And the idea is never, Lord, never. And he wants the Lord to have a little bit more information about his previous life. He says, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In other words, he's saying, Lord, in relation to the food laws, I've lived a perfect life. How many of you believe Peter lived a perfect life according to the food laws? He couldn't have. There's almost no way to perfectly keep the law. You know, who does he sound like? A lot like the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler who said, all these things have I kept from my youth? And how many believe he kept them all perfectly? Because you cannot keep the law perfectly. The law was impossible to keep completely. There were 613 laws to keep in the Old Testament. And who was the only Jew to ever keep them perfectly? Jesus Christ was the only Jew to keep them perfectly. Peter's trying to tell the Lord, you just don't know me. I've done this perfectly my whole life. You can say not so, and you can say Lord, but the two don't go together. You can say not so, and you can say Lord, but they do not go together. God had a purpose and a plan for Peter to reach Gentiles with the gospel, and the first thing Peter says is no. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. How often is the first thing that we say to the Lord is no, because I can't do that? What was Moses' response? No, I can't do it. So many others in the scripture, no, I can't do it. How many of you have said, no, I can't do it? Not so, Lord. The truth is, this has been a pattern or a habit in Peter's life. He had a habit of telling the Lord how it should go. Lord, when will you learn that I understand the situation better than you? And sometimes that's how we treat the Lord. Lord, when will you understand I know my situation better than you? Let's turn to John 13. In this passage, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And Peter thinks he understands the situation better than the Lord. In fact, he rebukes the Lord for thinking he could wash his feet. Notice verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? In other words, that's wrong, Lord. You don't know what you're doing. You've got this all backwards. You shouldn't be washing my feet. I'll wash your feet, but you should never wash my feet. Notice he says, he calls him Lord. Lord, you don't know what you're doing. Maybe you've forgotten your place. What does he go on to say? Then Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. What's Peter saying here? Not going to happen, Lord. I've got this figured out and you don't. You will never wash my feet. No way. Lord, let me instruct you. Let me teach you what you don't understand here. Can you imagine if you could talk to Peter right now in heaven? And I'm not trying to be irreverent here, but the conversation might go like this. I know. Can you, you ask him about that situation. I know, Peter says, can you believe I said that to the Lord? I was good at thinking I had everything figured out. And I was extremely good at trying to correct the Lord. There were times in my life where I just could not see beyond the moment. I had a hard time understanding that the Lord does not always do things in the exact manner that I would. He does not always do things in a way that I would approve of. In fact, I often let my pride and my plans get the better of me. I would open my mouth and proclaim my wisdom. At the same time, I was rejecting the Lord's wisdom. From my point of view, now it's ludicrous from being in heaven. But I did this more than once in the time that I was with the Lord. He says there's another time as well. Remember what Jesus said about being offended because of me this night? Let's look at Matthew 26. Let's start reading in verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not, I'll never deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter should have learned that it's a bad idea to tell the Lord never. It's a bad idea to tell the Lord never. He thought he had it all figured out. Again, he says, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me very well, Lord. We all know the outcome of that never. He denied the Lord three times. These three times are bad enough. But wait, there's more, just like the advertisements on the advertisements where you get another thing. Oh, you get all this for $19.95. But wait, there's more. You get one more thing. I saw a commercial the other day. I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw a commercial the other day. And the commercial was about all these... I didn't watch the whole commercial. I just saw a little part of it. But this mother who kids were saying, Mom, I want to do this. Mom, I want to do that. And her answer was always, no, you can't. And the kids keep going up to her and saying, Mom, I want to do this. Mom, I want to do that. Mom, I want to stay out to midnight. Mom, I want to meet this guy on the internet. Mom, I want to, you know, and Mom keeps saying no. And finally, the mom just makes a sign that she carries around with her with the word no on it, you know. And she just, every time, she just, like, you know, the kids say something, she just lifts up that sign. So she, you know, she's just all ready for the kids. And that's kind of what Peter's life was like with the Lord. No, 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 never. Do you ever wonder about the patience of the Lord with his apostles? Aren't you glad the Lord is a patient God? How often have we told the Lord no? Matthew 16. In this passage, we see Peter. Triumphantly declaring in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Verse 13 says, "And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am.' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist; some say Elias; others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?'" And such a great moment here for Peter. Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." What a great moment for him as he proclaims the truth of who Jesus is. And then Jesus basically answers that you are blessed. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" And we're not here to decide what that means. If you were here on Wednesday night, Pastor Josh went over that, to what that's talking about. Blessings for Peter that he understands, and the Lord telling him that he will do other things in the future. "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." And so now, the Lord's going to lay out his plan for himself, the plan for redemption. Verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So Jesus is giving God's plan for him, for salvation for us. But what's Peter's response again? "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not,'" you could replace that with "never, be unto thee." This will never happen to you, Lord. It's not going to happen. Peter is again saying to the Lord, "This is never going to happen to you, Lord. You've got it all mixed up. Lord, you don't understand how this is going to go." How can Peter sit there and call him Lord and say, "You don't have it figured out"? How can we at times call Jesus Lord, but we tell him no? In this passage, we find the greatest rebuke of Peter for telling the Lord, "Not so, Lord, this is never going to happen." And probably because it goes against his whole redemptive plan. "But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me.'" In other words, you are on Satan's side in this. That's what Satan would want to happen. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. You don't think, you're not thinking like God here. You're not thinking like the Father. You know, whenever Peter told the Lord no, he's not thinking about what God wants. He's thinking what man wants. And that's what he says here. He says, oh, don't, you're not thinking like God is thinking, but you're thinking like a man. You're not seeing things from a heavenly perspective. And Peter often got his ideas mixed up, and he thought like a man, and he opened his mouth much to his own. The other disciples may have been thinking of it, but they weren't dumb enough to open their mouth. You know, sometimes some of us who are a little bit bolder in our speech, maybe sometimes it'd be better if we just kept our mouth closed and let those thoughts kind of ruminate up there for a while before we actually would say them. So, Peter, you're not thinking like God, but like a man. And whenever Peter said no to the Lord, or not so, Lord, he was thinking like a man. To the extent he was rejecting God's plan for the Lord, he was following Satan's plan. Peter was a very outspoken person. And he didn't mind telling the Lord what he thought about his plans. The habit kept going after the Lord's death. Because we get to Acts chapter 10 and verse 14, and he says, again, not so, Lord. It's easy to look at Peter and wonder, how could he continue to do that? How could Peter continually just say, not so, Lord? Probably, if we're honest, we could look at our own lives and realize that we do the same thing. We might not be as bold as Peter and come right out and say it, but our thinking and our actions betray what we're thinking. Remember, we're looking just at Peter's response to the Lord's instructions. We most often reveal our not-so-Lord moments by our response to God's instructions. When we hear the word or we read the word in our quiet time and we know what it says, but we leave and in essence say, not so, Lord, because we don't change in our lives what the word of God has been spoken to us. We all have the word of God. Most of you, if you don't have at least a most of you have a Bible sitting in front of you today. Some of you have a phone, maybe. I wonder if the Lord tallied it up, how often we say, not so, Lord. I think our tally marks would be a lot less than if the Lord was to be here. Let me ask you a question, a few questions. Have you been telling the Lord no regarding his purpose and plan for your life? Has telling the Lord no become a habit? It was a habit in Peter's life. Has, you know, habits get easier and easier to do. When you keep doing something, it gets easier and easier. And telling the Lord can become pretty easy. In fact, you don't even realize it. You just get so ingrained into just hearing it and ignoring it that you don't even realize that that's what you're doing on a daily basis, is telling the Lord no. Peter's plan did not include Jesus washing his feet. No, Lord, that's not part of my plan at all. Peter's plan did not include unclean Gentiles in the church. Peter's plan did not include God taking away the ceremonial laws. And this isn't the last time either that Peter will struggle with this issue. The Apostle Paul will rebuke him in the future regarding this very matter. You would think that because God was the one that revealed it to him, he'd be the best at remembering it. But no, Peter again gets it mixed up. All of us tell the Lord no way more than we should. But I believe there's people out here in the congregation today, especially because I normally don't back up to a message, to a concept within a passage and preach it again. And I believe God had me back up and go back to this passage for a purpose. Maybe it's just me that needs to hear the message of not so, Lord. Maybe it was just for me. However, I believe there's people out here in the congregation that in some area of your life, in some area of obedience, you've been saying, not so, Lord. And God may be bringing that particular thing to your mind right now. Lord, I've been telling you no in this area. I've been unwilling to step out and obey. I don't know what that is, but I believe it's true of somebody here today. I don't know the circumstances or why you're hesitating. How did Peter go from God using him to heal a sick and raise the dead to saying, not so, Lord, in just a short time? You can go from a mountaintop type experience spiritually to saying no, Lord, in a very short time. How many times does the Lord have to tell you something before you will believe and obey? Are you ever slow of heart to believe God's word? Do you, in essence, tell the Lord, God, I know better? What will you do today? Will you again tell the Lord, no, I've got this? Or will you surrender and say, Lord, I'll obey? Will you be like Samuel and this time say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Will you be like Paul and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? It's a pattern in Peter's life. He believed he knew better than the Lord. He believed he could make better decisions than the Lord. Is that a pattern in your life as well? Or a habit? I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's saying no, Lord, to witnessing. Maybe it's saying no to church attendance. Maybe it's saying no to church membership. Maybe it's saying no to baptism. Whatever it is, stop telling the Lord no and putting off what he told you to do. You know, Satan is going to try and get you to doubt, just like he did Peter. He wants you to doubt what God wants you to do. Thankfully, Peter came around and went to Cornelius and went to that group and obeyed. What will you do today? Father, I thank you for your goodness and your love and your compassion in our lives. Thank you that you love us and you care for us. And Lord, I thank you that even though there are times when we say, not so, Lord, that you're still willing to use us. It's just amazing grace that you would use a sinner like myself, that you would use others in the congregation. But Lord, for us to be usable in your hand, we have to stop saying, not so, Lord. We have to come to the point where we surrender our hearts and our lives. We have to come to the point where we're willing to say, all the way my Savior leads me. We have to come to the point where we understand God's way is perfect. It's always best. Lord, why do we fight? Why do we hold on to our views? Why do we think that we can make better decisions than you? I ask for hearts to be soft here this morning. I ask that you would work and that people would respond. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.